It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 862.
What is happening, Gronks? What's going on? How are we? Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Great to be here. What's been the highlight of your morning thus far?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I know you always ask, so I usually have something prepared.
Can I guess? There.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Went with Bodie up to the cafe and something transpired.
Fuck, mate. You're smart. You're onto it. You've either tapped my phone and you're listening and watching, or you just become... I took off my hat because we look too similar. We're literally just two gronks wearing backwards
caps. No one's ever
seen. I'm just like...
look too similar. Like, what happened to Tommy Jacket? No, that's Josh.
No. You know what I mean.
I mean, if one gets to wear the hat, I feel like I should get to wear the hat. The quality of your hair deserves to be out and about.
Clearly, we look like our parents have got together after a divorce and we're stepbrothers. Yeah. But the stepbrothers have become very similar.
Yeah, sure.
So, clearly the DNA is different, but the optics are becoming quite similar.
Yeah, culture. We're into the set. We love skateboarding. We love wearing our hats backwards, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and we love running a racket because that's what the Jackets are doing at the moment. I feel like this is... I could see Bodie being let out of this house in handcuffs.
What is he doing?
Listen to this. We go to the cafe. George is the person who owns it. And he makes the coffees in the morning. You know, this is a business that had 50 to 80 seats inside, has had to, you know, close because of COVID. It's been like this for 4 or 5 months. It's my favorite place to go to.
Do you walk there or do you drive?
No, you got to drive. It's just too far with the kid. And when it's too early, CBF, I just drive nice and warm. Anyway, so they do coffee out the window. It's my favorite joint. And Bodie's formed this nice little relationship with George, who's, you know, got some kids that have now grown up and just a lovely dude, really nice to Bodie. And they all just think Bodie's such a character because he's all like, George, and he just asks him all these questions. Anyway, he brings in stuff to show George. And so, he brought in some ushies. And then he said, do you have any ushies? And so, we got some ushies. I told you about how we got ushies from him.
Yeah.
The problem with giving a child anything is that they think that's exactly... They just get it. When they want it, they get it from that person, and that's how it rolls.
Well, this is what I'm... Very quickly, this is what I'm worried about because after the show the other day... Bodie said, oh, I want a... What did he call it? Some truck thing.
He wants a monster truck.
And I looked at it. I was like, oh, fuck, there's a... this remote control one. This is sick. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to fucking get this, right? And so I said to Brie, I'm like, oh, we're getting Bodie this thing. She's like, it's $100. It's like, is it his birthday? I said, no, like, just fuck like doing it on his birthday. Let's get him something better now. Yeah. You don't have to worry about the birthday.
But
then I did have the moment where I'm like, am I going to create the only thing I'm worried about is that I don't want to then become the guy that Bodie will only talk to if I have a gift. Is this the risk that I'm playing?
I think he's got so many people under his thumb that he would be happy to let you go because he's got four others that are doing the same. And he'd probably still talk to you. Anyway, so he's got George under his thumb, that's for sure. And George got him some ushies. And then I know George's work schedule now. He doesn't work Thursday till Sunday. He works Monday till Wednesday. I think that's his diary. Anyway, Bodie's going this morning and he said to me, I hope George has got more ushies for me. And I just slowly start breaking it to him that George doesn't work on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And he's...
And he's not your ushie dealer.
And then I said, but his sister's there. And then he's great. So then he gets there. George has informed his sister that Bodie needs the ushies. Yeah. He's left ushies on the coffee machine ready for Bodie. And so... He's just casting a web out. He's got people working on the ushi delivery. We've got people, hopefully, got
he's
people
a network
delivering.
Marketer. He's the top of the ushi pyramid.
Dude, He has. Well, she's coming out of his ears. But, like, I reckon you could pull a snippet from this show of me just criticising Ushies in the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to a point as a parent where you just... You're on edge. Mm-hmm. You know, you're fucking really on the edge. And the Ushies are bringing joy. And so, this is where they get you. This is where... They get you.
I've got an idea so that we can make sure that he doesn't become spoilt with the whole thing.
Okay.
How do you feel about us saying, hey, you might get Ushies, whatever the fuck they're called, but you need we need to get you to draw a picture for the bloke at the cafe or his sister or whatever. That's so good. Then there's something where tomorrow. It's like you've got like what is something that he can do during the day that they like you know keeps him busy, maybe some watercolor, I don't know, whatever it wants to be. And then tomorrow he can give that to them. So then it feels like it's more of a relationship going both ways rather than him just having a dealer.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's the first time I feel like I'm actually not paying for like I'm giving I'm just pretending I'm paying for Ushies these days rather than coffee because now it's a coffee and an Ushie that I get. But I like that. Get him to draw a little thank you card.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice. I mean, that is what you got to teach kids, the thank you. Oh, but this other guy this morning, we're always telling him, say thank you, mm-hmm. say please, you know, just manners. Just drill it into them. And I didn't notice Bodhi being exceptionally kind with his manners. He must have been. But then that's what, you know, beating it into them, not physically, just metaphorically, does. Because this guy sort of made his way towards us sitting down and was smiling. I was like, this guy looks great. He's got
Where the
tan.
Fuck is his mask?
He didn't have a mask on. This guy didn't.
That's why he's smiling. But he looked so happy. He knew what he was doing. He was
fucking great. Dodgy sort of a silver fox tan. Uh-huh. Looks like he's just come from Noosa, which he hasn't. But he looked like he was living that retired life and he just smiled at me and he said, great manners. Yep, great manners.
When was this? Just, was this?
This morning. This was as morning. Well. This morning.
And was he like, a runner? I know I'm getting
no, he
bogged
got,
down.
No, he got a coffee. He just got a coffee and then made a beeline over.
Did you say, where the fuck is your mask, mate? Where's your manners? Seriously. What's his deal? Did he have it around his neck?
I don't know. He might have taken it off. I don't know.
This guy's a prick. Don't you reckon? No, am I
it
just
was actually him? Really nice. It made me feel really good because I just liked his smile and then I watched him sort of like, I thought he might have just been walking past, but then he had to veer back around a few cars to get to his car. So he purposefully made a beeline for us to tell us
didn't,
that.
Didn't Pete Evans suggest some sort of UV product to get rid of COVID? Maybe the reason he's tanned is he's got the UV machine at home. Maybe that's what's going on.
Well, I think that is actually a thing, that UV light can kill off virus. But what you're saying is that he's using a suntan bed.
Maybe. Do you know anyone that's got their own suntan? So I remember... Brie was very irresponsible when she was younger. I remember when we first started dating and she would go to the sun bed things and her dad was furious when he found out that he said that $180 that you've spent, I'll give you the money back because, you know, you book in advance or whatever. He's like, I'll give you the money for you not to just like you're not going anymore.
Dude, and so that she is stopped. A classic parent move, like, I will pay you not to do that thing.
I'll pay for the ciggies. How much were they? $25? Done.
Yeah.
Put them in the drawer.
Yeah, I went. No, not happy about it. There was a self-serve business and you just go and like, we worked out how to crack the machine. So we worked out how to con the machine. Like it took these coins that you'd buy with cash, but then the coins were the size of a $1 coin. So you just drop a $1 into the machine and you got a suntan. I mean, it's horrible. There was a, you know, 2 for 1.
I was talking to Jess yesterday, and she was telling me about how. Do you remember when you were a kid, and whether it's your parents or one of your friends' parents, had a real thing about being put on the spot about stuff? So you've got a mate that's over, you say to your mum or dad, "Hey, can Johnny stay over?" And piss them off, like shit them to tears, because it's like, Tommy, don't ask. Like, if you want to ask, don't ask me when fucking Johnny or whatever his name was.
Yeah, I could imagine it happening. I can't remember for me. Mm-hmm. I've put my mum on the spot whole life. Mm-hmm. That you just end up having people sleep over.
It's like, can we take so-and-so? this is a big one. Actually, I remember it happening year 11. I walked up to, this is before Bree and I were actually even dating, so the start of year 11, and we had a media project and we had to go to the Salvos. I just said it to two new friends, Bree and Georgia. I said, we can go to the Salvos after school if you want. And like, okay, yeah, great. Like, you sure your mum's going to be okay about it? I'm like, yeah, it should be fine. And so went to the cars. Mum, we've just got to go to the Salvos, and Georgia and Bree, can they come too? And so that was always a bit of time. I remember Mum telling me off in the car, I've got shit to do. She's driving.
But that's the on edge bit that I'm talking about. That's the on edge
as a parent.
Bit. As a parent, I'm doing a meditation yesterday during the day, and I'm a minute in, and all I hear is, milk, please. Just from the lounge room, milk, please. Wants a glass of milk. But just...
You need to give him all of his milk for the day, mate, in some sort of self-serve container.
Yeah.
What would happen?
He'd be okay. He wouldn't... He's not like you give him a piece of chocolate and sometimes he savours it. He's a funny little kid.
What about the social dilemma thing where they had the container that has the timer on it? What about if you put all of his different snacks for the day in different containers with timers in his room?
Yeah. Well, they're locked timers.
Yeah.
And then that girl smashes it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not at that point where he's like... At daycares, they have like a lot of daycare centers have like the water cooler kind of thing with a... You know, it's like a... what do you call it? This is hilarious. What are they called? The water vending. You know, they're just like a big glug 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 glug
put on
and it sort of...
Isn't it a water cooler?
Yeah, it must be a water cooler, but maybe that's the brand water cooler.
No. The brand. Remember the one like they would do TV ads, and it was a subscription before Netflix. Like I could get around that subscription.
So it's a water dispenser. What's water cooler?
What is it called? What's the brand though?
Water coolers, Aqua Cooler Direct. There's a bunch on here. Anyway, there was a door. Remember door-to-door salespeople?
Yeah.
That's a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. Hardly see people come in your door, especially this year. They're out of business. But we had a door-to-door person come and they offered up a water cooler for our house.
Never fail was the one that I was thinking.
Yeah. And so anyway, I've answered the door and... I didn't need to check with Mum because I was,
you were across the finances.
I was across it.
You were the biggest expense.
And I took this water cooler and I got the free 3 months or something and I had a water cooler in my room.
Did you really?
Yes.
You had a water cooler in your room?
Yes. But the thing is, I didn't have, bottles. That's what I thought so, but maybe it did. I can't remember that bit, but I just remember having icy cold water when I wanted. And then
how big was your room?
The water coolers aren't big. They're just like fits nicely in a corner. I remember at the entrance, just to the left, there was enough space below the light to just put me water cooler.
I love that. That's great. Dude. I remember computers and stuff in your room and all the lights. Like, you had a computer in your room, didn't you?
Yeah. I didn't have the water-cooled computer, though.
Mm-hmm.
Campton, Conspiracy Jimmy did. And I used to love staying at his joint when we were young. You could see the green water-cool fluid going through and it was a light. Felt really alive, you know?
Yeah. I also remember when I first got my big client project that paid cash. I had like a stack of 50s. Nice. Must have been like year 10 or something. And for whatever reason, the client paid cash. Mm-hmm. And so I had all of this cash and an international student knocked on our door selling paintings. And so I was like, okay, what do you fucking got? I'm 15 and 16. just pull out my cash and they're just showing it to me. And I'm like, oh, yeah. That one's quite nice. And so I actually bought a painting off an international student with mate. Like, that's where door-to-door salespeople shine. I just remember, yeah, you know, mum coming home from work. What's this painting? So I bought it. What do you mean? I fucking bought my first piece of art. And it took many, many years for me to then afford the process of getting it wrapped. So I remember, I think it was for my 18th birthday, my nana actually took the painting and got it wrapped. But it was just...
God. Where is it?
I think that Bree chucked it. I think it was like... Oh. Yeah, it would have been great. But it was just... It was one of those things. It was like the elephant I bought in Thailand. Like, it's the wooden elephant. There's been a few things.
Thanks for clarifying, because you could probably buy a real one as well. Yeah.
No, I do own an elephant, but in the apartment too. It's very.
Don't talk about yourself like that.
Yeah, no. But the wooden elephant, the painting. There's all these things that have sort of come with me over the years as we've gone to every house, and so you lose them after a while because they're like,
yeah,
what is this doing.
Imagine if that was somebody that went on to become.
I know. Well, that's what you'll bank it. Like, I think that I was like, I saw myself as sort of an art buyer at that point. And so it's like, okay, this would be, but it was rolled up for such a long time. And I'm sure that there was some 40 degree days where there was some direct heat going on. I don't know if it was in the best condition. It was an abstract.
Have you seen Banksy documentary?
There's an exit through the gift shop, that one?
I think it's that. It's this one where he... I mean, there's heaps of sort of docos or pieces about Banksy, but there's one bit where he has a stall on the side of...
Yeah, I don't know if that is that
Central
one, but
Park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he isn't there because no one knows who Banksy is, but he gets these people, probably just locals, to sell his artwork, which look like knockoffs, because you can buy knockoffs off the street in New York. And these things like are going for like $200-300. But they're worth, like, I loved at the end, they sort of showed the amount. One was worth like $80K. And it just, and someone bought like three of them. Like, oh, I like that.
Mm.
And then, I don't know. I wonder if they were told, but I was just, you know, you envisage coming across something and then it just be, you know,
it's like winning the lotto, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very romantic story that you feel better from just telling yourself the story.
And it could happen.
Imagining it happening than it actually happening.
Do you know Neil Buchanan?
Nah.
So Neil Buchanan is, people are saying online that he is in fact Banksy. Look up Neil Buchanan.
Oh, really? I mean, this is, his cover's blown.
B-U-C-H-A.
TV presenter?
The art attack guy.
Oh, no way!
This is an art attack. This is an art attack. This is art attack. You know that?
Yeah, I love him. Yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's had to come out and say, I'm not Banksy, because that was a big rumour that was going around. I would love for it to be Neil from Art Attack.
Yeah. That would be so sick. I grew up watching that show, loving it. I was, I just got him confused with the guy, I think, who died of a drug overdose. Maybe that's the Blues Clues guy. Blues Clues.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very similar. Like, oh, no. Yeah, similar vibes. Kids
TV.
This
is a British guy. Like, the and they remember he would zoom out and do these, like, he would go and he was putting, you know, socks. And then he zooms out and he's like, you know, created a massive horse out of socks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's where I got the inspiration.
Pre-drones.
To do my, you know, I got those trash O-bikes and I actually got like 10 of them and I made, got a drone to shoot down and it said a number. Mm-hmm. It was like 1,500 or something. And so I used bikes from an aerial shot to tell how much money I'd raised for charity.
You did that for Scott Pape too. Papey's now the new Art Attack guy. How many books
That's right.
Sold?
Yeah. When Scott Pape's Barefoot Investor book sold, was crazy. I went to his farm and we were celebrating selling 500,000. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the next time I speak to him a couple of months later, he sold fucking 2 million of the things.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But we had so many of his books and we got the aerial shot up at the farm in Romsey. Mm-hmm. And shot down, and I wrote out, or he wrote out with the books while I was flying the drone, 500 with a K at the end, 500K, which I thought was fun. He loved it.
I like that idea.
Nah, he got around it. I think he went and bought a drone after I actually brought mine to the farm. Yeah, because I was chasing the sheep with the drone, and then he bought one because he wanted to do it too.
on the putting people on the spot. I was also reminded when we were talking about this.
What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. I remember we had some people over for dinner, and Bree had these three candles, so like rose gold.
Yes.
And they were in the middle of the table, and we had a friend who we hadn't seen in ages, and her and her partner were there, and she's like, those candles are beautiful. I love those candles. And I just picked one up. I said, here, have it. And Bree was shocked because they were her candles. And she's like, no, no. And it was this really awkward thing. I'm like, we don't need three. She's like, they're limited edition. they're in a set. No. And so, and then the friend's like, oh, no, don't worry about it. I mean, who's in the wrong? Am I in the wrong for trying to give them away, or is Bree in the wrong for just not going with it and being greedy with three candles?
Well, I mean, you could say that there's value sets clashing. So mm-hmm. one of your values is generosity, I think, mm-hmm. and you are very generous, mm-hmm. but that's not necessarily, it's not that Bree isn't generous. It's that her generosity would come out somewhere else. Exactly. And so what you've done is Bree's value of, I love my house smelling and mm-hmm. great, and I love these things like, you know, candles. Like,
and they were
special
to her.
That's a noticeable thing when you come into the house. Mm-hmm. And so you've got those two things clashing, and that they're just at different areas. So your
And you couldn't buy them anymore. She said, after, like, you can't buy them. They were from her old work, more cosmetics or whatever, and it was a C. So anyway, but I just thought, like,
did the candle go? Did it go?
No. The person's like, don't worry about it. I was like, are you sure? And I was like, and Bree's like, don't fucking ever do that again.
Here's another example of you putting mm-hmm. the Gronk squad on the spot, uh-huh. i.e. the people in this business, is 2 weeks ago. When it's Screenplay Sunday on the mm-hmm. Daily Talk Show, and we're just talking about, we just did a Screenplay Sunday.
Oh, yeah,
and then 2 seconds later, we had a podcast,
mm-hmm.
which impacts everybody in the business.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Great idea.
Yeah, no,
but that's on the spot. That's like mm-hmm. a creative on the spot where it's, fuck, I thought we were going to Portsea, now we're going to Frankston.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but it's fun though, right?
It is fun. But that is a... another version of on the mm-hmm. spot.
Yeah.
We're doing this now.
I like, what's it called? Like impromptu stuff. Like impromptu. I just like the random, oh, let's do this thing today. Like if we could, and it was like, oh, let's drive to this place, let's go on a road trip, I'd fucking do it. I love when someone has to go to the airport. Yeah, well, like, that's good fun. Right?
Yeah, the caveat around it is though, because there's sometimes that it won't be. Mm-hmm. So it's not everything. It's just like, it's the essence of, we're doing something right now, or let's do something radical. It is radical. You like radical behavior sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's a bit sort of like adrenaline can kick in. Just fucking tingle in your dingle.
No, I get it. Before we go, can you read, so... Radio Today, which is like a radio industry website, they published something about like us talking about the Spotify thing the other day.
Yes.
That was just on their website. Can you just, I just had a good laugh at the big headline that the CEO of Commercial Radio Australia is saying at the moment. And can we just take a moment to pray for traditional media? What's the headline?
All right.
Do you know the one is a big one? It's the big banner.
Yeah. Put your money where your mouth is. Commercial Radio Australia urges marketers to give more of their budgets to radio.
I mean, it's not great, is it? When you have it like, well, give us your money. Like, it's nothing about like, we can add value, we can do all this sort of thing. But it's like, come on, put your money where your mouth is. Come on, if you're so rich, give us some. Like, it's...
And tell us how many people it actually goes to. But give us your fucking cash.
But then the other thing too is it's like they go on to say in the article, the CEO, she says, not worried about the industry, just worried about the economy. Not worried about the industry at all. And I think that this is the classic case of your business was fucked before COVID.
Is it that you've broken your leg and you're trying to limp it? You're trying to just walk it off?
No.
Someone's like, mate, your leg is fucking broken. Please stop walking. No, mate, it's all fucking good. It's all good.
No, this is like your tire was flat. All your tires were flat. You're driving along and then you've seen COVID coming, which is a truck. You've just fucking steered into it and just like, fuck, we're written off and it was the fucking truck. It's like, guys, you were barely. And so anyway, like I don't, like it seems like I'm, like we're, you know, celebrating that. I mean, it is sad, but I think that and you know, people lose their jobs and all that sort of thing. But I think that the, the entitlement of an entire industry to think that just because your radio and you like that you somehow like give us your money, show us like no, this is a thing. Like you need to adapt. You need to be serving audiences. You need to be serving listeners. You need to be doing that for show us how you've done anything to evolve how you serve listeners. And you've waited until the last second to do it. And you've half-assed it. And this is what you're experiencing. Yeah. These are the same people that created the podcast Ranker, by the way. So like it's sad.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
Yeah. All right.
It is. But look, if you do have Ooshies, send them to PO Box 400, Abbotsford, 3067.
That's correct. 3067. It's funny I say
that's how I remember it. 3067.
Okay. Yeah. Great. And if you've got some money, you know, if you've got some money to donate. Commercial Radio Australia would really appreciate some. Maybe we can do some sort of fundraiser. I mean, there's the amount of entitlement. Like I won't go into. I've only read the headline, but the 18 or something million dollars going to Foxtel from the government, like just fucking writing checks and stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit hyperbolic from my end because I haven't read the article, which is
just door to door salesperson got a 3-month Foxtel trial free installation. That was pretty fucking good. Back in the day.
I screen grabbed and sent it to Bree. I got a Foxtel, like a thing saying, hey, like something similar, like a Foxtel thing. I was like, oh, I could get around, you know, like cable news during sort of the US election and stuff. But it's like,
that would be a good month to have it.
Yeah, but the distraction, but the thing is, like how many hours are you then just fucking consuming this trash? Anyway, enjoy the rest of your day, everyone. If you enjoy the show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We're on Instagram as well, all of those places. If you want to have a deeper conversation, you can email us hi@thedailytalkshow.com. One Trick Tony, the show that we produce with Tony Lodge, new episode out today. Make sure you check it out. Hump Day Replay was yesterday where we did the ring around. A lot of fun. GB and the team did a great job on that. Anything else I'm missing? There's also
Tuesday's too much tally. Yeah.
Too much tally. It was on Tuesday and smashing goals. Great. That's it. Enjoy the rest of your day, guys. Have a good one.
See you guys.